This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Everybody, and welcome to this another episode of Terror Tuesdays here at the Cinema Recall Podcast over at thatmomentin.com. I am your host, The Vern, and instead of me reviewing just one movie, I'm going to be reviewing two. I'm going to be looking at the 2017 theatrical release, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, starring Colin Farrell and Nicole Kidman, and I'm going to be looking at the 2003 direct-to-video Fear X, starring John Turturro and Deborah Carr Unger. Now, The Killing of a Sacred Deer was co-written and directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. He did the movies Dogtooth and The Lobster, both of which I really love. So this was a movie that I was looking forward to immensely. The trailer was very vague about what the story was about, and I like that. I just didn't expect the actual plot to be so. This is a movie that has a very interesting premise, and the story is good. It just fails in its execution. So let's go ahead right now. We're going to listen to a trailer of The Killing of a Sacred Deer, and then I'll be back with my thoughts, all right?
We don't have to worry about nothing, 'cause we got the fire, and we're burning one hell of a something. They're gonna see us from outer space.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about Bod.
It's nothing serious.
No, it is.
Like we're the stars of the human race. Human race.
Where did you two go?
When the lights started out, they don't know what they heard. Strike the match, playing loud, giving love to the world.
How did his father die?
We'll be raising.
A surgeon never kills a patient. An anesthesiologist can kill a patient, but a surgeon never can.
'Cause we got the fire.
Don't be scared, Mom. You'll see. You won't be able to move either. But you'll get used to it.
Where is she? What did you do to her?
We're gonna let it burn, burn, burn.
I don't understand why I should have to pay the price. Why my children should have to pay the price.
It's the only thing I can think of as close to justice.
We can light it up, up, up. So they can put it out, out, out.
So The Killing of a Sacred Deer is a 2017 drama thriller about a successful surgeon, Colin Farrell, who is asked to murder one of his own family members by the son of a patient that died under his care several years ago. Now, that's just a short version of the plot. In the beginning, I was unsure of why this doctor, whose name is Stephen Murphy, played by Colin Farrell, was spending so much time with this young boy named Martin, played by Barry Keoghan. Hope I'm saying that right. It's never explained until much later that he was the one who failed at the operation with the boy's father. I almost thought that the character of Steven was a pedophile who was preying on Martin. When he brings Martin home to meet his family and asks him to spend the night, I was reminded of a moment from Todd Solondz's dark comedy Happiness with Dylan Baker's character. As the story progresses, we learn that it is Martin is the one that is preying on Steven. In one cringeworthy moment, he invites him over to his home to watch a movie with him and his mother, played by... No. Is that Alicia Silverstone? From Clueless and Aerosmith video fame? Wow. I haven't seen her in a movie in quite some times. You know, she was one of my celebrity crushes back when high school and... No, Vern, stay on topic. After Steven denies the sexual advances of Martin's mother, the next day, his son Bob, played by Sonny Soljic, can no longer walk and has lost his appetite. While at the hospital, Steven is told by Martin that the conditions of his son, along with his daughter Kim, played by Raffi Cassidy, and wife Anna, played by Nicole Kidman, will end up getting worse. First, they will be unable to walk. Next, they will be unable to eat. After that, they will bleed from the eyes, and then they will die. Martin tells Steven that if he chooses to kill one of them first, that everyone will go back to being fine. One family member for another since his father died under Dr. Murphy's care. If I would have known at the start that Martin blamed Steven for the death of his father, I could understand his motivations a bit more. But this information comes out of nowhere and I was completely surprised. There was nothing that even explains why this kid is able to make each family member suffer the way they do. In one scene, he is able to make the daughter walk to the window of the hospital room just by talking to her on her phone. Is this all some sort of hypnosis that he's putting them all through? Was there a moment when he poisoned them and I missed it? You know, the more I think about this movie, the more it angers me. The one thing I find frustrating about the whole movie is that the tone of this is all over the place. At some parts, it's supposed to be quite dramatic and serious, and others, it's awkwardly funny. I don't mind watching a heavy drama that has a few scenes of comedy, and vice versa, but The Killing of a Sacred Deer go back and forth so much with the tone, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to feel sorry for this character of Steven, or laugh at him. The situation of him being forced to choose one family member to die so that the rest can live is indeed serious. However, the choices he makes to solve this dilemma are outright hilarious. The cinematography of this movie is astounding. There are many shots in this that pay homage to the works of Stanley Kubrick, especially with the long tracking shots from director of photography, Thamos Bakatès. Apologize about the pronunciation. The result is something quite beautiful to see on the big screen. The actors I mentioned are all fine, but they are delivering the same flat tone that was used in Yorgos Lanthimos' earlier feature, The Lobster. The technique of dialogue for that movie was fine because they were establishing an alternate universe. This feels very much like the real world in The Killing of a Sacred Deer, and that same flat tone doesn't work in this. Same thing goes for his previous effort, Dogtooth. In that movie, the family was isolated from the real world, and so it was fine for them to have a different speech pattern, but in this movie, it feels really out of place. The Killing of a Sacred Deer is a movie that I fully respect, but I don't like. I respect the actors for being able to put their complete trust in Lanthimos and do things on screen that most actors would be afraid to go. Praise kind of goes out to Nicole Kidman for just kind of going out there with this role. Probably the best thing she's done since Eyes Wide Shut. Same thing goes too for the actor who plays Martin. The way his body movements and speech patterns go, I mean, that is a very well-developed actor playing a character. And I enjoy that one a lot. I even love the look of this film and the odd sound design in certain scenes where violent scores kind of change and alter, which is both disturbing and just odd, but I love that stuff. I just don't like how the story and plot were developed. The motivation of characters were never fully developed, and I had no strong opinions one way or another about any of their outcomes. So yeah, I'm going to be giving The Killing of a Sacred Deer 2 stars out of 5. I think this is the movie that you have to make your own opinions about, and either one will not be wrong. If this is the movie that you completely hate, completely understand it. If this is the movie that you completely like, I understand that too, but this just does not work as well, especially if you're a fan of his other features, Dogtooth and The Lobster. I haven't seen Alps yet, and that's one I definitely do want to check out. Yorgos Lanthimos is definitely a very, I guess, divisive filmmaker, and many people are going to like his films, and many people are not. But yeah, that's my quick thoughts about The Killing of a Sacred Deer. I'll be back with my thoughts about Fear X, so stay tuned.
We'll return after these messages.
MovieMavericks.com, broadcasting current box office breakdowns, movie news, and reviews. Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
Hey now, even though we're over 200 episodes deep into the Movie Mavericks podcast, it's still not too late to start listening.
Where every show we give you 10 truths, 20 lies, and a bunch of Hollywood secrets.
It's like existentialism slipping into nihilism.
MovieMavericks.com.
Introducing Courts and Parts, a new podcast network for the pop culture fan in you. From in-depth TV analysis and humorous life rankings to provocative and witty discussions, Courts and Parts is bringing you the engaging topics you can't miss.
That Pop This Life is where we talk about pop culture, life, and the ridiculousness of it all.
Talking Shondaland, covering the latest of Shonda Rhimes' TV shows.
On We Got 5, we list our top 5 favorites with a new topic every week.
So, join the conversation, courtsandparts.com.
I need to know why my wife was killed.
Mm-hmm. tapes for your collection.
I understand Sergeant Franks has informed you that we've come up with some new information relevant to your wife's death.
Yes.
You and your wife ever been political activists? You know, environment, Buddhists, save the whales, members of a cult, anything like that?
Well, I was thinking of maybe moving from here. I was wondering about the place right across from me.
I'm afraid that one's rented.
Really? Who rented it?
To tell you the truth, I don't know.
Do you know this lady?
Not some sort of legal maneuver.
Legal? Oh, no. Oh, no. Absolutely not.
If you give me your information, I'll make sure that she gets it.
Harry Kane. What did the photo look like?
Peter?
I do know Harry Kane.
Why is he looking?
Sooner die in the town than anything happen to you.
It's me.
Welcome back, everyone, to Terror Tuesdays here at the Cinema Recall Podcast. Be sure to read the full written review of The Killing of a Sacred Deer over on the site, thatmomentin.com. My next feature is another thriller that I was originally going to be doing a full episode on, but the movie is so bad that I'm only going to be giving it just a few minutes. Now, this is a movie called Fear X, and I had a screener copy of this movie for a long time. All I know is that it stars John Turturro, and it was co-written by Herbert Selby Jr. Now, if you don't know the name Herbert Selby Jr., he is the guy that wrote Requiem for a Dream. We recently did a full episode about a few scenes from that movie with great guest Jason Soto of The Lair of the Unwanted and CineGamer. Definitely check that out. So I was kind of curious about watching this because this was supposed to be an original screenplay done by Herbert Selby Jr. So I was interested in watching it for that aspect. And then when I watched the movie, the first thing that came up was that this was a film by Nicholas Winding Refn. Now, if you don't know the name Nicholas Winding Refn, he is the director of Drive, Bronson, The Neon Demon, Only God Forgives. This was a movie that was made way before any of those. I think that Winding Refn really got his name on the map with Bronson, even more so in Drive. This is a movie that was made many, many years ago. So Fear X is about a security guard played by John Turturro who is trying to find out the identity of his wife's killer. His wife was shot randomly by some guy outside of a shopping area mall, and he's been obsessed ever since. So much so that he actually takes a job as a security guard to get more information. And then as he investigates this crime, he finds out about this photograph of a guy, and he's been living in this area. I'm talking about the killer there. He's been living in this area, and so he goes to investigate where he is, and he's been asking people about the girl in the photograph that's supposed to be his wife. We then cut to this cop and his family. The cop is played by James Remar. I believe the wife is played by Deborah Carr Under. And would you know it, the wife looks pretty much like the same wife that John Turturro has been searching for his whole life. So yes, we realize that the killer that John Turturro is searching for is mostly him. And this fact is cemented right when we switch tones and we're now following this cop character. Anyways, John Turturro is at this hotel. He meets a few random people. He goes into a door. The weird laser light show that happened in The Neon Demon with Ella Fanning characters happens. And then we see him cry. And then he leaves and he has all these photographs of his wife that he just lets go. And then the movie ends. That's really it. Yeah, folks, that's essentially the whole movie right there. And I just wanted to let people know about it. But I found it fascinating too because I actually do really like and respect Nicholas Winding Refn's work. Even Only God Forgives, which a lot of people hate. That movie is a damn masterpiece compared to Fear X. I am kind of curious about watching the films Pusher, which I think they're supposed to be good, but luckily a lot of people say those are good. It just kind of amazes me how certain movies get greenlit, I guess, and how directors sort of change their vision. And you can see elements from their other works go into recent works, and I find that shit fascinating. That's kind of wrap it up right now here for the Cinema Recall Podcast. I forgot to give Fear X. My rating of no stars. None. Like, zero stars. I maybe give it, like, I'll give it a half star. Like, half a star, like just barely a half a star. If I could give like one corner of a star, I would. But this movie's bad. It's just bad. I mean, if I would actually like to get the actual DVD of this, if there actually is commentary by Nicholas Winding Refn, just to find out what the hell this means. But this movie's shit. All right. So yeah, that's gonna wrap up our episode of Terror Tuesdays. Not to be on Nathan and other folks, but yeah, that is gonna wrap up our episode of Terror Tuesdays here at the Cinema Recall Podcast. We will be back for sure next week because we actually have a movie that we're going to be discussing. This took a while to do, but we are going to be finally discussing the movie Clue. And we have with us a guest, Hyro, from the True Bromance Podcast. So definitely be on the look of that next week. I'll be posting that soon. And hopefully I've got other big news to happen in January. As always, you can check out all of our past episodes by going to the site thatmomentin.com. We are on iTunes. Just search up That Moment In. We are on Stitcher, same thing as That Moment In. We are on Player FM. We also are on Twitter. We're on Twitter at @cinema_recall. And we are on Facebook at, just type in Cinema Recall. Please don't forget to email us too. We are at cinemarecall@gmail.com. Let us know some suggestions. And if we actually like your suggestions, we will ask you to become a guest on the show. But anyways, folks, I hope you all have a great night, a great week, and I will talk to you soon. Good night.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.